Another one that might be called a miracle would be I had a woman coming with a myriad of disorders, and we started at the top of the list of the big ones, you know, start working away, and she's getting better and better. She worked with me from October through to probably March, when her annual colonoscopy was due. Now, this is going to be the fifth annual colonoscopy. Anybody know what that is? That is really painful. Halfway through the colonoscopy, the doctor stops the procedure. Can't find any. He's consistently found colon polyps there every time for 4 years. The fifth year, a few months after I've worked with her, and we haven't even looked at this issue. It was sort of probably a side issue of something we did look at. It was running along the lines of another cause that we had fixed, and the colon polyps just withdrew. That's a miracle, isn't it? That physical lumps and colon polyps the doctor finds can just disappear. She had done no other treatment but come to my office. No, I'm here to tell you that that's not a miracle. I don't profess to be a miracle worker, and I don't profess that bioenergy therapy is a touch-me miracle of magic. It's a difficult situation that we found and we worked hard at, and as a matter of fact, I can tell you the client works harder than I do. I'm just the guide. I give the knowledge that is the power of change. But we have to realize that while the energy treatment we give accelerates self-healing, it's the client that unlocks self-healing. These are the kinds of things that I want to show people, that health is about reason. We can always look at the physical aspects of everything, and actually we find a lot of comfort in being able to know and label, but the knowing and labeling, you're going to find out in the second segment called Crippling Vision, is actually a detriment to us. These are the kinds of things that we need to evaluate and look at in a different way, because if disorder has reason, how can we continue to insist that we can intervene successfully and not have complications of cause poking out somewhere else and not end up medicated permanently? We really have to look at this in a very different light. So I want to say to you today that this is not a touch-me miracle or magic, and I'm pulling back the curtains to show you why it is not. I want you to know that it's quite grounded in logic and study, but not in the logic and study of mechanics of parts, but the logic and study of the mechanics of reason. Reason, good or bad or indifferent. The sanction for disease or health means that we really have to start looking at the ability to affect change. If we change the purpose, that disease must withdraw, regardless of what it is. And really, we're talking about the criteria for spontaneous remission of any disorder. I've seen many clients relieved of disorder in an extraordinary way, and most of them, when they get to me, that they're at the end of the rope. Medicine's basically been coming to the point of saying, well, you know, there's really not much more we can do, and you're going to have to learn to manage your pain. It's not in the script, but I think I'll introduce Bruno. You're going to have an opportunity to talk to one of my greatest successes in the back corner. Bruno first came to me 3 years ago, June, and none of you here would recognize him. He was gray and ashen, and barely navigating by himself with a cane. Looked like death warmed over. He was on daily doses of morphine that didn't completely cut his pain. Hadn't worked in 7 years. Had been through torture with medicine. I mean, biweekly plasma exchange? Yuck. And his prognosis was walkers in a wheelchair soon, with little hope of any kind of future. In 7 weeks, Bruno got up out of my office and strode across the foyer to leave. And there I was trailing along behind him, saying, you might want to take this. It was his cane. He hadn't been anywhere without it for a long time. Now he'd see me twice a week at 11 months. He told the neurosurgeon at Mount Sinai, no more heavy-duty drugs. Because, you know, like, that's a real baffling. Every 3 months, you've got to go through an addict's withdrawal for 2 weeks
so they can change up and give you something different because they don't want you addicted. That's horrible. But so he was at this pivotal 3-month period, and he went, you know what? I'm clean and sober, and I'm staying that way. The neurosurgeon, as I understand, said to Bruno, well, it's your call. I mean, I really think you're going to want them. We'll give you an appointment for 3 weeks from now. And if you need me, call me in the interim. He was sort of in disbelief. And 3 weeks later, as I understand it, Bruno went in and told him that he was now handling what pain he had, never mind morphine, over-the-counter Tylenol. He still had pain, and he was enduring a little more pain, I think, at that moment than he had been with the morphine. But one of the big things that he really bugged Bruno was, like, his head wasn't clear, and he was losing his freedom. I mean, while he's on this heavy drugs, he can't do anything. He can't get in the car and go down and buy a pack of cigarettes. He can't do anything. So this was a milestone step, and he endured extra pain at that juncture to turn it off. Correct me if I'm offline in any way along the story, because this is all in my memory. We continued to pursue the cause for Bruno's stuff. I'm not going to go there and talk about his stuff, but just the process. His background, basically, of what he was doing in his life was making meals. It had to do with his job. I'm not going to get into details on it, but we figured that out. And he went from daily doses of morphine with no real prognosis of hope, literally, to getting his life back. At 36 months, 3 years to the month, Bruno stopped coming twice a week, once a week, and now he's on once a month, and he's not in pain, which is really fantastic. He's not in pain, and here's a guy who at one time couldn't sit and hold his hands like this without pain, and now he's doing woodworking with power tools in his basement. Very cool. He's ready to start a new business, and he's pretty much out of pain. And what we really did is we hunted around for what was causing the pain, and then literally changing the way he viewed those situations that lifted that out of his life. It's kind of an interesting look at the reason for spontaneous remission. So when we talk about the purpose of communication, I can say that Bruno and I have had numerous chuckles about how he missed the whispers and the talks because of other things. For instance, when you have responsibilities and kids and cars and cats and dogs and ducks, you have, not ducks, I'm just joking, but you have all this going on, you feel like you're boxed in. You feel like you can't make certain changes. And in this particular case, one of the biggest components of the puzzle was his work was toxic to him. It was toxic to him because his life agenda and karmic DNA said that he needed to be a creative entrepreneur, moving and shaking and making things happen. And in his job, where he had got to, they wouldn't allow it. Every time he tried to do something or implement something, innovative idea, no, it's not the way we do it. And he was suppressed. His body literally shut down, saying, no, don't go there, don't go back there. The plasma exchanges were actually working until they went send him back to work for half days, and then the plasma exchange wouldn't work anymore. So that's an extraordinary story of the purpose and reason for disorder and the potential to literally turn around the whole process. I didn't actually say what he had. It's called demyelinating polyneuropathy. And that's where the sheathing that protects the nerves is deteriorating and the nerves are cross-circuiting, causing pain. So at this juncture, I would expect that sooner or later they're going to get some tests going that says, you're remyelinating. Bioenergy therapy poses a very different approach to health and healing, and it is a fascinating strategy that says we don't have to live in pharmaceutical maintenance. We don't have to live with a lowered view of the horizon in our life where this is all we can expect, this is as good as it's going to get. We don't have to live just in pain management. We can proactively start looking inside at the process of our pain. And believe me, it's not easy. And the worst scenario is going to take longer to fix. I mean, I've had one woman come to me from Belleville, and because she was coming such a distance, I did a Saturday session for a whole afternoon, spent 5.5-6 hours with her. It was like 3 sessions in one, but it was targeted on this one specific problem. She had leg pain for 2 years that doctors couldn't figure out. She came with the pain, she left without it, and never returned. So as much as like one person, sometimes it takes this long safari and arduous journey, another person, you can find it and figure it out very quickly. Through all of the process of growing this understanding, I'll say that fibromyalgia has been an instrumental teacher. I don't know how many people know what FM is. Ends up, who knows? Okay, well, I'll just briefly say, because sometimes I talk about it, and it's one of those things where I don't want to leave anybody in the cold, but I'll just tell you what it is so you know. Fibromyalgia is an all-over-body pain condition. It's sometimes heavy fatigue, and it has 28 physical other symptoms ranging from dry mouth to irritable bowel and bladder, and it has 11 mental emotional symptoms from word mix-ups and memory losses and comprehension and concentration problems, all of which, all this myriad of symptoms never show up in the same list with different clients. They're always different, which is the conundrum why medicine can't really find an answer to it. They like to have pigeonholes and they like to categorize and say, well, this is what we do for this. They can't do that with FM because FM is entirely custom. Every person who has FM has a different brand, a different list of symptoms to go along with the all-over body pain and pain trigger points. There's 17 or 18 trigger points, and you have to have 11 of them active to get a diagnosis. That's right. But I recognize you, because I can tell you that I have broken the back on this more often than not. When I have people who had fibromyalgia who are pain-free for over 6 years now, when the rheumatologist said, you're going to have this till the day you die, there's nothing we can do. I've recognized fibromyalgia is like a barometer of our life, and every human is open for it. The reason it's all over body pain is that the symptom list covers all seven categories of thought from the energy system. And if you get enough distress going on in your life, leftover junk in your system, you are going to come to pain in the various areas, usually all over body if you have all over stress. So the common denominator, I can tell you right now, that medicine's always looking for is that the people with FM usually have a stress history as long as you're on. Compared to other people, they've got more stuff in their history, their past, that is unresolved than anybody else. That's the common denominator. And FM was an extraordinary teacher
to me and to this process of bioenergy therapy,
because it really awakened a lot of the understanding that pain has reason and it's different for different people. While you can have the same diagnosis for different people, you can actually find that the origin is going to be different from different people because their whole past experience of life has been different.